Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers. What is a peacemaker? When you think about it, there's a big difference between somebody who is a peacemaker and someone who is a peacekeeper. Peacemaker versus a peacekeeper. Let me give you the phrase. I wish we could just have some peace and quiet around here. Okay? There's two elements to that phrase. Peace and quiet. A peacekeeper wants it to be quiet. Wants to make things just calm so everybody chills out a little bit and we can just kind of move on without ruffling too many feathers. A peacemaker is not so much concerned about quiet, they're concerned about ultimate peace. Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." In Romans 5:1 it says, "We are justified by faith, and we now have peace with God." How do we have peace with God? The rest of the scripture says, through Jesus Christ. Jesus was the greatest, is the greatest, and will be the greatest peacemaker this universe has ever seen. So when he says to us, "Blessed are the peacemakers," what he's saying to us, I believe, is, "I want you to be like me." That's what Jesus is saying. So we're going to go through the Beatitudes very, very quickly. And I want to just suggest to you, looking at them in a slightly different way. I'm not saying that we're going to change the interpretation of anything, please. What I am suggesting is, I'll tell you the conclusion, and then we'll work up to it. I believe that there are actually seven Beatitudes, the seventh of which is, "Blessed are the peacemakers." And I believe that one way to look at this is that the first six are leading us up to what it means to become a peacemaker, what you have to have within you to be an actual peacemaker. And then there are three following statements that are part of the Beatitudes that I believe are results of what happens once you become a peacemaker. So the point of this is that peacemaker is the central piece of what our Christ-likeness is supposed to bring us to. And when we think about what Jesus did, we read in Ephesians 2:14, "He himself is our peace, who made both groups, Jews and Gentile Christians, into one and broke down the barrier, the dividing wall between us." So let's very quickly go through the Beatitudes and then let's discuss what it means to be a peacemaker versus a peacekeeper. Reading in Matthew chapter 5, we're going to go again quickly. We're going to start with verse 3. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The first rung, we're going to look at this as a ladder. The first rung of successful peacemaking is humility. You cannot be a successful peacemaker without humility. Because peacemaking requires stepping outside of yourself, because the issue at hand is the unrest. Not you, not how you feel, not what you'd like to see. So it requires a basis of humility. The second of the Beatitudes, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." This second rung of successful peacemaking is the willingness to be able to feel hurt. Blessed are those who mourn. Jesus is saying those who mourn will feel comfort. Jesus was able to mourn. Remember at the graveside of Lazarus, he wept over the sin and the sadness of the world. To be a successful peacemaker, we have to be able to enter into the hurt and the harm and the turmoil, not only of our own experiences, but of others as well. The third rung, verse 5, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Version, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." This third rung of successful peacemaking is commanding a gentle and meek spirit in our daily experiences. A peacemaker approaches life with gentleness because they're looking for a way to actually solve the issues of life. Verse 6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." This next rung of the peacemaking ladder is an insatiable appetite for godliness and for righteousness. To be able to make real, true, bottom line, lasting peace cannot happen without godly righteousness. Any other kind of peace made on any other basis will eventually fail, except for the peace made upon godly righteousness. That peace can stand. The next verse, verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. This fifth rung of successful peacemaking is a character that knows and embraces mercy. Again, a peacemaker, and we're not taking the time. One day soon, this will be a full-length discourse. It came too recently to be able to do that for the convention. So this is sort of a preview by God's grace of something maybe to come at some point. But, you can see Jesus' life in each of these Beatitudes. And I think what he's saying is, here's how to be like me. Here's how to be like me. Here's how to be like me. Blessed are the merciful. We can see the mercy that Jesus showed to those around him, the ability to embrace mercy as a way of life. The next rung, the sixth rung, is verse 8 of Matthew 5. Blessed are the pure in hearts, for they shall see God. The sixth rung of successful peacemaking is godly intentions behind all of your actions. And isn't that what Jesus did and said? Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. The pure in heart. What is your ultimate objective? For a true peacemaker to be successful, their ultimate objective must be utterly selfless for that peace to actually work. And then we get to verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. This is the seventh rung, being a peacemaker. It's interesting that, and we didn't comment because of a lack of time, didn't comment on all of the results of these things. But here in the seventh one, he says, for they shall be called sons of God. That's why it occurs, in my own thinking, it occurs to me that Jesus is saying, I want you to be like me. I am the Son of God. You become peacemakers, and you're going to be like me. You can become sons of God. So with all these previous steps of development in place, these six steps that lead us to becoming peacemakers, we can now see clearly, think righteously, and begin to act appropriately. This is not a common place to be. And to be a true peacemaker, to be following in Jesus' footsteps, obviously it's the power and Spirit of God that brings us to that level and that ability. And then we see what happened during Jesus' life. And then we see what is going to happen if we achieve a level of peacemaking. In verse 10, it says, blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Having been persecuted, everything else was something to develop. Now this is a result. You've been persecuted. Why? Because you're a peacemaker. And you know what happens when you're a peacemaker? You're not trying to pacify people. You're trying to problem solve. And there's a world of difference between pacifying and problem solving. Jesus was the ultimate peacemaker because he solved the problem of sin in the world. We are given the ministry of reconciliation so we can work with him in the future to help finish the solving of that problem. But in the meantime, brethren, what do we have? We have us, and the application of being a peacemaker absolutely must apply here and now amongst us in this room. Not being peacekeepers with one another, but being peacemakers with one another. And you know what? The trouble gets worse once you're a peacemaker. Because if we go on to verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. You see, being persecuted for righteousness' sake, the previous verse, that's what Jesus lived with. Persecuted for righteousness' sake. Then you get to this ninth rung where he says now your persecution is coming with evil dark intentions. This is where Jesus died. This was the final trials of Jesus' life. It was the dark, evil intentions of, now we're going to kill him. We've had enough. Why? Because he was a peacemaker. What was it that provoked the Pharisees to finally say, that's it, we've got to get rid of him? The raising of Lazarus.
Ooh,
that was interesting. The raising of Lazarus from the dead. That's what did it. That raising of Lazarus made it so they could not stop the power of the gospel. And then finally, the final rung, verse 12. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This tenth rung of successful peacemaking for true Christians is the ultimate reward to be with Jesus, to be like Jesus. A peacemaker versus a peacekeeper. A peacekeeper wants to reduce conflict. A peacemaker wants to refocus the consciences of those involved. It is difficult work. It is oftentimes thankless work. But it's the core of the work that Jesus came to do. Because the scripture said, he made peace for us between us and God. And if we're to walk in his footsteps, we need to be willing to do that same thankless work. In this world, peacemaking doesn't generally end up with great results because most of us naturally would rather deal with peacekeeping. Just, I'll ignore it, maybe it'll go away. And even amongst us, brethren, as we deal with one another, do we get into that situation where we look at the circumstances amongst those who may disagree with us on this, that, or the other thing? And are we peacekeepers with them? And if so, is that what we should really be doing? Because peacemaking is harder, it's deeper, it's riskier, but I submit to you that peacemaking is what Jesus wants us to do. Blessed are the peacemakers.